You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
And as you're grabbing a seat, you can turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. If you don't have a Bible, you can slip up your hand. One of the ushers on either side would love to get a copy of God's Word to you. We'd love everyone to have their eyes on a copy of God's Word, Philippians chapter 4. We're progressing through the book of Philippians. We're almost done, and I hope this has been a beneficial series for you. I hope that going forward in the future, as you turn back in the Bible to the book of Philippians, you'll have much more context, that the book of Philippians will come to life in a brand new way for you as you go back to it and return to it in the future. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. Again, the Apostle Paul's writing from prison. Execution is looming. You could probably rehearse the context for me by now, I hope. He's writing to the church that he loves so much at Philippi, and he's addressing some concerns here in chapter 4, but he gives a wonderfully beautiful exhortation right here in verse 6 all the way to verse 9, and I think and I believe that this will be perfectly applicable for many of us in our lives today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." This is such a precious passage of Scripture. And I want this passage of Scripture to be increasingly precious for you and I today as we unpack it a little bit today. It has so much for us, and I want to start here. You need to understand that today, listen, today it is possible, you can jot this down, to overcome anxiety. Today it is possible to overcome anxiety. In our text, we find a command from the Apostle Paul. If you notice it in verse 6, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Essentially, he's saying, don't worry about anything. So for many of us in this room, this already seems like an impossibility. For many of us in this room, right at the outset of this message, you're sitting here and you're saying, how can that be that I not worry about anything, that I'm not anxious about anything? Already some of you are putting up a defense and saying, this can't be for me because I'm very, very worried so often in my life. It seems like an insurmountable obstacle, this issue of worry and anxiety in my life. And so maybe you're here today and you're anxious about your children. Maybe you're here today, you're anxious about your career. Maybe you're here today, you're anxious because of the past, or you're anxious about the future. For so many people, even in this room, perpetual anxiety and chronic worry is a normal component of everyday life. And some go on and live this way, and many people don't even know about it. So many suffer with this silently, quietly. Maybe learning to put on a mask, learning to put on a face, not exposing to people around them what is really going on in the heart. There is worry, there is anxiety over a number of things. And if you're like me, you experience anxiety. This will be for every single one of us. But I believe for the first time in your life today, perhaps God could begin to fill our hearts with faith. I believe that today, perhaps for the first time, God will fill our hearts with faith to believe that anxiety and worry don't have to rule our lives. Perhaps you will believe today that there is a way of escape, there is a path to relief, there is a trajectory towards an anxious-free life, and I believe, based on God's Word, that we can go there today. We can go there today, and so I want to ask you, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that you can go there today? We can go there. We can walk on the path towards an anxious-free life. Listen, I'm not coming to you as a counselor or a psychologist. I'm coming to you as one who's just looking at this passage of Scripture and saying, I want to believe it. I want to believe it. And I want you, loved ones, to believe the authoritative word of God. But most of you today are asking how. Already you're saying, it seems like most of my days are dominated by anxiety. All it takes is one thing to go off course and it triggers the onslaught of anxiety in my life. Maybe that's your reality. And listen, I don't want anyone in this room to feel ashamed or burdened about this right now. It is common to every single one of us. I wake up in the morning some days, I'm so worried and so anxious, and I need to tap into God's word and understand for myself in a real way. I don't have to go this road. I don't have to walk this route, but there's a way towards a worry-free life, an anxious-free life. Listen, if you are anxious today, if you're struggling with worry today, don't be ashamed. You know that Jesus is here. He loves you. He opens his arms to you. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden and are weary, and I give you rest. Jesus Christ is here to say, no judgment here. I love you, and I want to give you a worry-free life. I want to make that possible for you. And so some of you, as I said, are asking how. I want to suggest some, I believe, life-changing answers from our text today. And listen, it's not my idea, but it's right from our text. And you jot this down. I will overcome anxiety in my life, jot this down, by unceasing prayer. By unceasing prayer. Notice it in the text, verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He's saying, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That's what he's saying. You wake up in the morning, you have anxiety flooding your life and your heart. Your mind is so burdened and worried. He says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Unceasing prayer. Unceasing prayer. Not being locked up in a closet, praying all day long on my knees, but it's the mindset. Remember, we talked about this in our prayer series. It's a mindset. It's a disposition. It's I'm coming to the Lord all day long with my burdens, with my anxieties, with my requests, saying, God, I want more of you. I need you. Unceasing prayer. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Think about it for a moment. What are we doing when we pray? Think about this. What are we doing when we pray? We're calling on God, the God we believe is bigger than us and higher than us and far above us and more capable than us. We're demonstrating our trust in God. We're demonstrating our dependence upon God. We're surrendering our circumstances to God. We're acknowledging our dependence again on God. But listen, very few people come to the place of unceasing prayer in their lives. Yet, it's all throughout the Scripture that God's people are characterized by prayer. And I want to ask you, you're sitting here, you're worried about many things, perhaps. You find yourself easily anxious in your life. Have you really ever gotten to the place of unceasing prayer? Have you gotten to the place where you were really serious about overcoming anxiety, not by your strength or your power, but by the only power that can abolish it in our lives, by the power of God through prayer? Have you ever come to that place? And listen, I talk to enough people, I look at my own life too often to know that not very many people get to that place, yet many, many people struggle with anxiety. And the Scripture gives us The Scripture gives us tools. The Scripture shows us how we can begin to overcome anxiety. It says, but in everything, by prayer. Prayer comes from a heart that trusts and depends and leans on and loves Jesus Christ. We pray because we believe God hears and God answers. Otherwise, we wouldn't pray. Listen, conversely, we don't pray because we don't believe God hears. We don't pray because we don't believe God answers. We don't pray because we don't believe, we don't have a settled conviction in our hearts that this is so massively significant that God has to step in. If he doesn't step in, this thing's not going to get overcome. Listen, we don't pray because we don't believe that he can overcome the challenges in our lives.
Otherwise, we'd pray. I mean, how simple is that mindset? Otherwise, we'd pray. Listen, you're walking through a hardship that's making you very worried and concerned. You're walking through anxiety in such a way that's overwhelming you. If you believe that God was able to abolish it and step into that and help you in that, then your response, loved ones, my response would be prayer. And it wouldn't just be a token prayer in the morning. God, help me, I'm feeling worried today, and then go on with your day. It would be unceasing prayer. It would be tapping in to the power of God. It would be, God, help me, I need you. I need you now. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. I'm anxious about this. I'm anxious sometimes, and I don't even know why I'm anxious. God, please help me, I need you. A heart that understands and believes that God has power to step into our lives as we pray is a heart that will pray. But I suggest to you, not many people get to that place. And I want to challenge you, loved ones. Have you ever gotten to that place in your life? Listen, we did a whole series on prayer. We unpacked a theology of prayer. I mean, that's all good. But unless we become people who actually pray, we're not helping anything. We're not helping ourselves. We're not being obedient. And so one key I suggest to you, I will overcome anxiety in my life by unceasing prayer. The implication of what Paul is saying here is that prayer is the avenue through which we relieve our anxieties. That's what he's saying. It's the avenue through which we cast our burdens on the Lord. It's the avenue through which we can trust completely that there is someone bigger than me, there's someone better than me who is taking care of me. Therefore, that commitment to unceasing prayer facilitates in me a heart that trusts a big God and a heart that feels the burden of my anxieties and my circumstances less. Think about it. If you have children in the room, you understand this. I have a little boy and a little girl and another little boy, and my little boy comes to me, and if he needs something, if he's in trouble, he comes to me. He knows I can solve the problem. He knows I can step in, and when all I need to say to him is, I got this, Josiah, I'm going to take care of this, or Abigail, I'm going to take care of this, don't worry, and it calms them. And then they watch me walk towards whatever the situation is. And they watch me put my hands to the situation. And they watch me begin to resolve their problem. Maybe it's a broken toy. Maybe it's a conflict that they're having together. And they step back and they watch me. And you see their faces begin to change. They run to me with tears and crying and worry. But as I step in, as they see me responding to them, their faces begin to change. The anxiety begins to flee. Why? Because they trust that there's someone bigger and someone capable who's able to step in and resolve this issue. They believe Dad's got it under control. And I wonder how many people in the Church of Jesus Christ, listen, really believe that Dad's got it under control. I wonder how many people who suffer with chronic worry and the burden of anxiety really believe God's got it under control, because the reality is he does. But here's the challenge. The worry-free life is a radically different life. The worry-free life is a faithfully devoted life. The worry-free life is a relentlessly disciplined life, disciplined in prayer. Notice it again. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. Listen, you can't just sit back on your spiritual couch and put your feet up passively and think God is going to step in and resolve all your issues. This requires discipline. This requires a passionate pursuit of Jesus Christ. As we do our part in the process of sanctification, God certainly does his decisive part. But there are two parts. Paul talked about that early in Philippians. We rehearsed all of that. And it is so with anxiety and worry in our lives. We so often sit back and we think that somehow this thing is going to get resolved. Let me just talk to a friend, or let me just talk to someone who's more spiritual than I am, or let me go meet with the pastor and then all the anxieties will flee. But listen, did you ever take the time to actually discipline your life to be with God first? Did you ever take the time to say, but Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. But in everything by prayer. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And I'm preaching to myself, loved ones, because listen, I see how quickly and how easily anxiety overwhelms me. I see how quickly worry overtakes me, and it takes me to a bad place. It takes me to a place I don't want to go, and I understand it overwhelms us, but we need to look at the pages of the scripture and see what Paul is prescribing here for worry and anxiety. He says, pray about everything. Do you do that, loved one? Do you do that? Is your life so disciplined to be before the Lord in prayer? Is your life so disciplined to commit yourself to God by unceasing prayer that you've given him every burden? You've understood who he is through the pages of the scripture. Your mind is being shaped and formed by a knowledge of who God is. And have you done that? Listen, far too many people have not gotten to that place. Maybe even in this room today. Far too many people, we can acknowledge our worry and our anxiety very easily. But did you pray? Did you seek the Lord? Did you commit yourself to unceasing prayer? Did you commit yourself to persistent prayer? Are you persistent and diligent in praying and praying and praying? God, you got to lift this. God, you got to step in. God, I need you. Let the tears fall. Let the tears fall and let your voice be raised up to the Lord. God, step into my life. I'm feeling so worried and burdened about this, that, and the other. And then fill your mind with a knowledge of who God is. Surely what you're worried about, God is able to handle. Surely if it's a financial difficulty, you don't think God can step in and take care of you? Surely if it's your children, you don't think God can, with a word, call your children to himself? Surely if it's your career, if it's your ministry, whatever it is, surely if we understand who God is, surely God can take care of it. But we strengthen our faith and trust. We strengthen our dependence in prayer. And we overcome anxiety by unceasing prayer. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. This, loved ones, is not simplistic and naive. And some of you are saying, well, that's easy. The preacher just wants to tell me to pray and it'll get resolved. The preacher's just putting forward, that's what Christians do after all, they just put forward simplistic and naive remedies to this deep, complex anxiety that I'm feeling. Listen, that's not what we're trying to do. I'm challenging you, listen. What does God's word say? And do we believe that this is the authoritative word of God? What does God's word say? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This is not simplistic and naive. This is profoundly powerful theology. And the more our hearts believe in the power of prayer, the more our hearts will be relieved the anxieties of life. The more our hearts believe that God is near, the more our hearts will be relieved of paralyzing fears. The more our hearts believe that God is in control, the more our hearts will rest in the sovereignty of God in our lives. And Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. But in everything. But in everything, Jason? Everything. You wake up in the morning, but in everything. During the day at work, everything. After school, you go home, everything. When you're feeling lazy and tired, everything, everything, everything. But in everything, unceasing prayer. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I will overcome anxiety in my life through unceasing prayer. But secondly, you can jot this down. I will overcome anxiety in my life, jot this down, by thankful prayer. By thankful prayer. Notice it in verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Here it is. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the truth is, it's very easy for us to become very self-centered and self-focused and self-absorbed. Listen, I'm speaking from experience. It's very easy for me to be self-centered and self-absorbed and to look at myself. And selfishness can overtake even our prayer lives. Think about this. Selfishness can even overtake our prayer lives. God, give me this. Relieve me of this. I need this. I want this. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Selfishness can overtake us. And listen, selfishness is rooted in pride. And pride, loved ones, is a gateway to anxiety. Pride is a gateway to anxiety. Pride is a gateway to an anxious life. I worry about my life because I pridefully think that I am in full control of my life. When my ability to earn an income is threatened, I begin to worry. Why? Because I pridefully think that I am my own provider. When my circumstances go sideways, I begin to worry. Why? Because I pridefully bear the burden of being the sovereign Lord over my own circumstances. Pride is a gateway to anxiety. And so many of us need to recognize that. He says, with thanksgiving, rather than us coming to the Lord with self-centered motives, we can come to the Lord with a heart of thanksgiving. Paul gives us a biblical remedy to self-centered, proud praying. And listen, it's humble, thankful praying. It's humble, thankful praying. Notice on the screen for you, F.F. Bruce, commentator, wrote this. A grateful remembrance of past blessings is a safeguard against anxiety for the future. It adds confidence to the prayer for continued blessings, hence the importance of thanksgiving in all true prayer. And did you know, loved ones, that we of all people have abundant cause for thanksgiving? You may be sitting here saying, well, I mean, that's easy for the person that has so many things, but I don't have much to give thanks for. Are you sure? Are you sure? And the very fact that we sit here saved by the grace of Jesus Christ is ample and abundant cause to erupt in thanksgiving and praise and worship. It's not about me and my wants first. Thank you, Jesus. You saved me out of your divine initiative. You keep the gospel at the forefront of your hearts and minds, and we will be a thankful people. Amen. This week I stood at the foot of the hospital bed of a dear family member of mine who I love very much and was so very close to. He suffered a brain aneurysm, not once, but twice, and the second one was crucial. With his brain failing and his heart failing, we stood around his bed with tears filling our eyes and tears streaming down our faces, knowing that his death was imminent. In the midst of the weeping and the brokenness at our loss, our hearts were able to pray, thank you, God, he knows you. Thank you, God, he is saved by your grace. Thank you, God, this is not the end. Thank you, God, this is the beginning. Thank you, Lord, that he will be with you in eternity. Thank you, Lord, that there will be no more tears or sorrows for this man, but only joy unending and joy unspeakable. And in the midst of hardship, in the midst of a hospital room full of anxious people, we who know Jesus are able to say, but I'm not worried about him. I'm not anxious about him. I'm not anxious about his future. He knows Jesus Christ. He's saved by his grace. And his life that was devoted to Jesus Christ will be rewarded by Jesus Christ. And he will walk and face Jesus Christ face to face, and he will be embraced and he will be spoken to by Jesus Christ. Well done, good and faithful servant. In addition to the glorious salvation that we have been afforded, think about this, loved ones. We sit in these chairs, we wear these clothes, we live in our homes that we live in, we have the families that we have, we grow in fellowship in the church that we have here. Our hearts can quickly erupt in thanksgiving if we begin to understand that in addition to the saving grace of Jesus Christ imparted to our lives, we have so much. We have so much. And the anxious-free, worry-free life is a life that begins to pray unceasingly, but in a way that prays with thanksgiving. Because the reality is, even if we were all poor and naked and had nothing, even if we had no shelter or any homes, even if we had no food to put into our kids' mouths, even if we had nothing, listen, we have everything because we have Jesus. And we have reason to give thanks. So you who are burdened and worried and anxious,
do you give thanks in prayer? This loved ones is a key to overcoming anxiety in our lives, to be prayerfully thankful. When you begin to worry about something in your life, quickly begin to recount the blessings of Jesus Christ. When you begin to find your heart failing and it's anxious and it's worried and it's burdened, it feels like there's 100 bricks weighing on your heart, you begin to recount, but Jesus saved me. Remember, Jesus saved me. But I have food to eat. People on the other side of the world, they don't have food. I can worship in freedom today. I don't have to worry about my life. I don't have to worry about my family. I have shelter. All these blessings have been poured into our lives. You can be thankful. I'll overcome anxiety in my life by unceasing prayer. By thankful prayer. And then thirdly, you can jot this down. I'll overcome anxiety in my life by specific prayer. By specific prayer. Notice the text. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Here it is. Let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known to God. The word supplication in the text, it refers to the action of asking for something earnestly or humbly. And so we need to understand, Paul is not speaking about prayer as a vague, general communication to God. Not even, God, I'm worried right now. Help me. That's too vague. It's too broad. It's too vague. Paul seems to be encouraging, bringing very specific requests to God. Notice it in the text. Let your requests be made known to God. Now, it's not because God doesn't know anything and needs us to inform him. It's not that, because the Bible tells us in Matthew's gospel that he knows everything we need before we even ask. He does, and that's a wonderful thing to acknowledge. It's a wonderful thing to meditate upon, that you approach your Heavenly Father and he knows our very needs before we even utter them. But there's something very special and powerful that happens in our hearts when we specifically and intentionally make our requests known to God. We move from mindless, go through the motions, repetitive kinds of praying towards faith-filled, intentional, thought-through, spirit-filled, scripture-filled kinds of praying. And as you pour out your heart to God with very specific requests, you begin to see, God, I need money, Lord. I need more finances. But you begin to remember, God, by his Holy Spirit, will minister to you. I can help you. I can step in. I have the universe in the palm of my hands. Money's no obstacle for me. I need food, Lord. I need food. I'm worried about, but it's not an obstacle for me, because as you name it specifically, you begin to remember this God you're praying to is a God who created everything, and he will provide for your needs. I'm anxious because I'm going through a relational conflict right now, but you remember that God will comfort your heart in that moment as you name it for what it really is. But I've given you all that you need. See, the Spirit of God will begin to minister to your heart and speak to your heart. Do you believe that God speaks? Do you believe that God speaks? Listen, so many of us have forgotten this reality. God speaks. Did you know that? God speaks. It's in that moment as you are on your knees. You're bringing your request to God. You're making your request known to God. It's in that moment the Spirit of God coagulates with the Word of God and the prayers of the saints, and he begins to speak to you. Don't you understand, if you have a relational conflict today that you're worried about, don't you understand that I've given you all that you need in my Word to resolve this, and he'll speak to you? Whatever it may be, it's so significant to make our request known to God. And some of you are saying, well, when I pray, I just want to be led by the Spirit. So whatever comes to my mind in the moment is what I pray for. And I'm saying to you, but that's not what Paul is telling us to do. Don't just come to prayer and just throw up a bunch of loose prayers to God and just say, okay, whatever comes to my mind and heart, I'm just going to pray. No, that's just bad theology. God will speak to you. God will lead you in your praying. But he says something so profound here. He says, let your requests be made known to God. And so when was the last time you had a prayer list? Listen, if you're like me, you can't remember many things. I mean, I struggle to remember things. When I first got together with my wife, she made sure she put a day planner in my hand because I was forgetting everything. She said, here, write it down in this. And that changed my life. Just write it down. You can't even remember the basic thing. Here, write it down. And it changed my life completely.
But when was the last time you had a prayer list? You had something. And listen, we have the technology for it, don't we? Each of you. You have a phone in your pocket. Most likely, you can pull it out. There's a little app on there called Notes. You can pull that app up, and you can type whatever you want in there. Right? Make a list. Make a prayer list. You're walking through the day. You find your heart burdened and anxious. Pull out your phone and say, oh God, help me. Help me. Lord, I want to begin to pray specifically for this that's causing burden and anxiety in my life. And make a list. And I would suggest that we should come to God in prayer always with a list in hand so that we find ourselves faithful in the way that we pray, the things that we give thanks for. When was the last time you had a prayer journal? A journal that you filled out, that you wrote out in there. You just prayed and you wrote and you wrote and you wrote. Listen, these are ways we can facilitate this, making our requests known to God. These are just two ways of tracking our requests in order to bring them to God. I'm encouraging our church, you know, where our church is not like the kind of church where, you know, there's people that don't, like people come to me and say, I'll pray for you, and they don't just walk away. They stop and they pray for me. I love that. I love that. People come to me and they're like, oh, you know, how you doing? I say, well, you need some help in this area. I say, I'll pray for you. And then they stop. They pray for me in the moment or they write it down. I love that. We don't want to be the kind of church where it's full of people wearing these masks and all of a sudden, oh, you need prayer? I'll pray for you. And you walk away. And it just doesn't happen. Make a list. Write it in a journal. Let your requests be made known to God. God's word, God's authoritative, spirit-inspired word tells us that we will overcome anxiety in our lives through unceasing prayer, by thankful prayer, and by specific prayer. It is possible to overcome anxiety today, I believe. It is possible. And so what does this mean for you? This means that you make a decision today that you will be a man or a woman of prayer. What does this mean for you? This means that this matter of prayer is not just something Jason's jumping up and down about at the front because he wants to see good stuff happening in the church. This comes down one life at a time. And one life at a time means that you embrace the truth of Scripture for your life and you say, I must be a man or woman of prayer. I must. I must be a man or woman of unceasing prayer. I must be a man or woman of thankful prayer. I must be a man or woman of specific prayer. And it'll change your life and it'll change our church. I was so encouraged at our last church-wide prayer meeting. The room was full of faith-filled praying, and it's only getting bigger and bigger because more and more of you are understanding. I must be a man or a woman of prayer. It's possible to overcome anxiety today. But there's something else here I want you to see. You can jot this down. Today it's possible to overcome anxiety, but secondly, it's possible to find peace. Today is possible to find peace. Notice verse 7 to 9. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Here's a question. Do you need peace today? Nobody's looking at you. You'd answer that in your heart. Do you need peace? Do you find that your heart is so burdened and anxious and you say in your heart a resounding, I need peace? I want you to know, loved ones, it's possible to find peace. But we have to understand. We have to understand. We can't experience the peace of God without first having peace with God. You have to understand that. And this will be a moment, perhaps, in the message where someone's life will be radically changed. You can't have peace, the peace of God, until you have peace with God. See, Colossians 1:21-22 says, and you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by death in order to present you holy and blameless. The Bible tells us that before we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we are not at peace with God. The Bible tells us every single human being, no matter how many good deeds we may do, we are at enmity with God. We are enemies of God. We are hostile in our hearts and minds towards God until we come to the understanding that I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I embrace Jesus Christ as my Savior. I repent of my sin and I put my trust in Him and I follow Him. Until we come to that place, we are at enmity with God. And listen, loved ones, maybe there's even one person in this room today. You've been coming to this church. You're going through the motions. You've heard the gospel declared. You've heard Jesus Christ say to you, I want to make peace and it's got to be on my terms, but you have not responded to the invitation of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's you today. And today, Jesus Christ will call you and say, listen, you want peace? You can't find it anywhere else. You want peace? You must come to terms, peace terms with me. We got to get on the same page. Come to me and I will make peace with you. You will no longer be an enemy. You will no longer be hostile in your mind. I will break down the barriers and I will forgive you of your sin, the sin that makes you an enemy of mine. I will break those barriers down and I will welcome you into my family and we will have peace. We'll be in a peace-filled relationship. And if you're here today and you haven't made peace with God, you haven't received the grace and mercy and forgiveness of Jesus because you're stuck in your pride. You're stuck in your ways. You want to keep doing that foolish stuff that you're doing you think will satisfy you and bring you peace. It cannot. It cannot. There's no drugs. There's no alcohol. There's no sexual promiscuity. There's no relationship. There's no climbing up the corporate ladder. There's nothing that will give you peace aside from being at peace with the Savior of the universe who loves you and calls you today. There's nothing. There's nothing else. And He calls you today. If there's even one person in this room who needs to be at peace with God, I urge you and I entreat you, come to Jesus today. You come and you say, I give you my life, forgive me of my sin. I repent and I turn to you and I will follow you. Jesus is calling you. And listen, that's so important because the prerequisite to peace, the peace of God, is peace with God. But others of you, you're sitting here and you're saying, I have peace with God, but I don't really have the peace of God. On the screen for you, I'm going to give you the definition of the peace of God. The inward tranquility that comes from God and comes through trusting a capable, caring God who has our best interests in mind. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the inward tranquility that comes from God and comes through trusting a capable, caring God who has our best interests in mind. Some of you say, I've come to Jesus, I have peace with God, but I'm struggling. I don't have the peace of God. Notice the text tells us that it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. The definition is inadequate to describe the peace of God because Paul calls it a peace that surpasses all understanding. And so many of us, you're sitting here saying, I don't have that. I need that. I need that. You see, it doesn't make sense for a Christian to be at peace when they've just lost their job. That's the peace that passes all understanding that God can offer you. It doesn't make sense for a Christian to be at peace and all things are going wrong in their life. It doesn't make much logical sense, but that's because it's a peace that passes all understanding. And you're sitting here saying, I don't have that. My circumstances are just driving the level of peace in my life. God's word has some help for us. Notice Paul says, this peace will guard our hearts and minds. In the Greek, the words will guard is a military term used to describe soldiers on duty. You can picture this. The peace of God that God wants to grant each of us is a peace that stands on guard over our hearts and minds. Listen, are you burdened in your heart and mind today? The Bible tells us as we embrace lives of prayer, specific prayer, unceasing prayer, thankful prayer, then the peace of God will stand on guard. It'll protect your heart and mind. And some of you, I can feel it. You're saying, I want that. I want that. The anxiety is infiltrating my heart and mind. The arrows of anxiety are attacking my heart and mind. I need God to stand on guard. He will. He will. He loves you. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds. In Christ Jesus, it's a supernatural peace that guards and protects our hearts and minds, but it protects and guards the hearts and minds of those who have trusted Jesus. protects the hearts and minds of those who put their dependence upon Jesus, of those who will do what verse 6 has already told us to do, to be in prayer, to be people of thankful prayer and specific prayer. But the text tells us some specific things that we need to embrace in the society that we live in. Notice on the screen for you, Sinclair Ferguson said this: in our modern world, many people seek freedom from anxiety, listen, by trying to empty their minds. Paul teaches us that true peace can be ours only when our minds are properly filled. This is profound. We try to get to a quiet place and just empty your mind of the worries, empty your mind, and there's no peace there. See, the peace that stands on guard over our hearts and minds comes and is facilitated through unceasing prayer, thankful prayer, specific prayer, but also some very specific ways that we are to think. And so Christians and the Christian life is not a mindless thing. It's not just like I put my faith blind and I don't think ever. I mean, God and God's word today calls us to a very specific way thinking, a way that fills our minds appropriately. And I want to show it to you. Top 7 questions to consider before you begin to think. And some of you say, I don't even think before I think. And I'm telling you, God's word is telling us to think before we think, or meditate before we think. Understand what we're thinking about before we even get to the place of thinking about it. Top 7 questions to consider before you think. Is it true? Number 1, is it true? Is it true? You notice it in the text. Verse 8, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true. And at the end, he says, think about these things. Is it true? I mean, you're in a relational conflict and you're fighting with someone, and you go home and you're thinking to yourself, oh, this person doesn't like me. This person, you know, they want to come against me. And, you know, but let me ask the question, is it true? Before you begin to facilitate all those type of thoughts that burden your heart. Oh, this person doesn't like me. They don't want to be with me. They don't want to have a relationship with me. And the relational conflict is intensified as you begin to think on those thoughts. But ask yourself, is it true? Is it true this person doesn't like you? Is it true this person, has this person ever said to you that they don't like you, that they want to be at odds? Like, is it true what you're thinking about? If we ask that question, chances are we begin to gain better perspective. When I've done, my heart can so easily run away with all these assumptions and speculations, but ask yourself the question, is it true? And you examine your relationship in that specific situation, you examine things carefully, you begin to say, no, that isn't true. My mind is getting away from me. Anxiety is filling my heart, but I need to meditate on what is true. But more specifically, God's word is true. God is true. God's word is true. Anxiety will flee our lives when we begin to understand what it means to meditate upon God's word and have it fill our hearts and minds. Think about what is true. And maybe you're going to make a connection right now, something you're anxious about. Your anxiety is growing because you're meditating on something that's just not true. It's not true about the character of God. It's not true about the specific circumstance you're dealing with. It's just not true. And you're meditating on what is not true and is facilitating and fueling anxiety. Ask yourself, is it true? Secondly, ask yourself this, is it honorable? The Greek word means to revere or to worship. To think about what is honorable or worthy of reverence and worship is to be heavenly minded, with an eternal perspective, contemplating spiritual things. The opposite of what is honorable is that which is temporal, worldly, trivial, or mundane. So think about your thought life. You who are worried and anxious and burdened, think about your thought life. Is much of your thought life invested in that which is temporal and worldly and unspiritual and unrelated to God's word? Is much of your thought life meditating on that which is really not honorable at all? And that will fuel anxiety. Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, think about these things. You're going to have to stop yourself. You're going to have to even begin to pray. You're going to have to stop and pray, God, I'm thinking about what is not honorable. Help me, Lord, to think about what is honorable. I love my little boy. He's growing so much. And the other day, he said something that was inappropriate. I said to him, Josiah, make sure you don't fill your mind with that type of thinking because it's coming out. And he said to Daddy, "Daddy, can you pray for me? It keeps coming to my brain. It keeps coming to my brain. This word keeps coming to my brain. Can you pray for me? This word is, it doesn't stay in my brain anymore." I said, "Yeah, I'll pray for you." And that's our problem. I looked at him and said, "It's my problem too. Things keep coming to my mind. Things keep coming to my brain. I keep thinking about things that I ought not to think about." And I prayed with him. I said, "Lord, Lord, help Josiah to be filled with the truth of your word and not these things. Help me, Lord, to be filled with the truth of your word. What is honorable?" Thirdly, ask this question: is it just? Is it just? Other translations say right. Is it right? The Greek translates it as righteous. To think about what is just or right is to think about the things that are in line with God's holiness and righteous standards. So let me just give you an example. Maybe you're walking through an injustice right now. Maybe something has happened to you in your life. Something has happened to you. A circumstance has unfolded in your life, and it's causing great anxiety in your life. Well, ask yourself, are these thoughts just? Am I thinking about what is righteous and right? Am I understanding that it is just to think, what is just is that God is sovereign, God is in control? Am I meditating on that? Or am I meditating on everything's out of control and this problem is too big, and this challenge is too difficult? What are you thinking about? Is it just? Is it true? Is it honorable? Is it just? Is it in line with God's holiness and righteous standards? Fourthly, ask yourself this: is it pure? Is it pure? The Greek word for pure elsewhere in the scriptures is translated free from sin. Free from sin. And so where nobody looks and nobody sees, and you're there by yourself to your own thoughts, anxiety filling your life, are you thinking about what is pure? Or are we thinking increasingly about what is impure and what is sinful? The more we think about what is sinful, the more these opportunities open up for anxiety to flood our lives, for the peace of God to be snuffed out in our lives. Is it pure? Young men, is it pure? Men in the room, is it pure what you're thinking about? Is it pure what you're thinking about when you're on the bus or you're on the train or you're in front of your computer or you have your iPhone in hand or your Android? Is it pure? Is it pure? Think about what is pure. Fifthly, is it lovely? Is it lovely? This word appears only here in the New Testament. It's translated sweet, gracious, generous, or patient. Is it lovely? Is it sweet? Is that what you're thinking about? Is it worth thinking about because it's lovely? You think about what is lovely in your life. I think about my wife. She's lovely. I love to think about her. I think about my children. It's a lovely thought to me to think about my children. Listen, I think about this church often. It's lovely. I think about this church. It's lovely. It's a lovely thought to me to see how God is working in the lives of people in this church. It's a lovely thought to me. It makes my heart rejoice. And it's so interesting, loved ones. You know, the ministry is full of anxieties. It is. But when I focus on what is lovely in this church, you know, those things that I don't have figured out, that just goes away. How is this going to work? How are we going to get to this place as a church? How are we going to meet all these needs? And worried, that worry just begins to go away when I think about what is lovely. It just goes away. Thought about our church barbecue all week. It was lovely to think about. It's wonderful to think about. Oh, we had so many things to do in the ministry, but I wasn't worried. I was thinking about what is lovely. Six, is it commendable? The Greek translation renders commendable as that which is highly regarded. Is it commendable? Would you view it in high regard? Would you commend it to someone else? That which you're thinking about, would you come to your small group leader and say, "I commend this thought to you. I commend this thought to you because it's highly regarded. I would like you to think about this too because it's highly regarded." Is it commendable? Would you go to a new believer in Christ and come to them and empty your thoughts upon them and say, "I encourage you to think about these things. I commend these things to you. It's highly regarded." Would you do that? I ask myself, when my thoughts are moving, would I commend these things to my children? Are they highly regarded? Very quickly, the answer is clear.
And then number seven, is it excellent or worthy of praise? Here Paul summarizes with a final exhortation, a type of radical biblical life altering ways of thinking we are to have. Essentially, there's a warning here. Guard your thoughts from anything that is not excellent or worthy of praise. And this will be a key to overcoming anxiety in our lives. This is not easy, loved ones. It requires us to embrace what Paul said in verse 6. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. It requires us to be people who are really serious about this, who are not lazy in our Christian lives, who are not lazy in our thinking, who are not lazy in the choices we make, what I'm going to watch and what I'm going to listen to, what I'm going to be entertained by. This requires a radically different life. And listen, those in this room who choose to live this type of radically different life, listen, anxiety may not flee for good because we still wrestle with the power of sin until this side of heaven, but you will see increasingly, I believe, based on the authority of God's word, you will see the peace of God begin to wrap itself around your hearts and minds. And you will see increasingly the peace of God flood your life and anxiety begin to flee. But it's not a one-time thing. It's not like, let me just do this once and then here's the result. It's an ongoing thing. I battle anxiety every single day of my life. Do you know that? I battle worry every single day of my life. What's going to happen here? How is this going to go well? And I don't know what to do here. And this is too hard. And this is too big. Every day, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, Jason. Be anxious for nothing. Every single day, every moment of the day, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God every single day, every moment of the day. I have to catch myself. Whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, all these things. Oh God, I want to fill my mind with these things. And then you realize the massive significance of this book. Then you realize that I can't just be wandering through this life without this book. You open it up and you say, fill me, fill me, fill my mind, fill my mind. I need this book. I need the Lord in prayer. I need brothers and sisters and accountability. I need you to talk to me. I need you to share with me. I need you to pray with me. And we need each other in the pursuit of the Christian life. And if we're going to overcome anxiety, I suggest to you, we need each other as well. We need each other. We need the Lord first, but we need each other. You can pick up the phone and say, hey, listen, I'm really having a tough time thinking on what's true and pure today. Will you pray for me? And then you begin to pray specifically and thankfully in an unceasing way. And you watch how God steps in. God will be true to what he says in his word if we will embrace it and we will open our hearts to it and we will believe it. The question left for us to answer is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? God is with us, loved ones. God loves you. And he wants so much today, not only to give you drops of peace, he wants to pour out a rushing flood of peace into your life if you would come to him and say, God, I repent of this way of thinking, and I turn. I want to think better. I want to think more in line with your word. I want to be a man or woman of prayer. Maybe you're here today and you recognize prayer has been non-existent in your life. And rather than feel guilty, you turn to God and say, thank you, Lord, you've given me this avenue to seek you in prayer. Today can be a changing day. Today can be a turning point. Today can be a day where anxiety begins to flee in your life and the peace of God begins to guard your heart and mind. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. And if you want that today, just begin to ask God to give you strength to believe what we've heard from his word and strength to act in a way that's obedient to his word. Finally, he says in verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Remember earlier he said, look to the examples, surround yourself with examples, be imitators of me. He's saying, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Remember, we need each other. Imitate those who are imitating Jesus. And live lives of radical obedience to him. Let's pray together. And if you don't need to walk around today, I want to encourage you, please don't walk around. I know that there are people that need to walk around. But if you don't need to move around right now, I believe this will be a powerful moment for many in this room. Because the reality is that so many people struggle with anxiety and worry. And maybe even today, you're just struggling to believe that this could flee in your life right now. I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray for us right now. I'm going to pray for our church right now. And I'm going to ask the Spirit of God to step into each situation, each circumstance, each burden, each worry. And I'm going to pray the God of peace will be with you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every single one in this room. Lord, you know the anxiety that ensues. You know the worries that people are carrying. You know them all. And I know, Lord, that there are some things people are worried about that I have no idea about. I know that there are people struggling with anxiety in this room in a way that I could not even relate to, but I pray, Lord, that you, the God of peace, would be with them. Lord, right now, we're not looking for a quick fix or a quick remedy. We are looking for patterns of living. We're looking to be obedient to the way you've called us to live. And so for everyone in this room, help us to think upon what is right and pure and true and lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. Help us to discipline our lives to be people of prayer. And let us know that the God of peace is with us. Oh God, surround the hearts and minds of your church today, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus.